Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Eric Mettemeyer, the CEO of Store Financial. Eric, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen, for having me.
For everyone's benefit, Store Financial is an innovator in the B2B payment space. And one of the things that we're going to talk a little bit about today is one of those innovations, virtual cards. So I'm curious to get your perspective on this, Eric. Obviously, we see virtual cards gaining traction in a variety of sectors, travel certainly, and healthcare, as well as some other segments in the B2B space. But there are still these pesky paper checks hanging around. What gives?
Well, there are certainly lots of reasons for that, but I'll concentrate on a couple of big ones that we see consistently as we're out in the marketplace. The first is the resource constraint within accounts payable organizations. And then the second are the disincentives provided by banks. So let me talk about the first one. Within an accounts payable organization, it's not generally viewed as strategic, where sales organization or a product organization may be adding headcount. It's rare that you'll see an accounts payable organization and have access to additional headcount resources, but they need those additional headcount resources to become a better performing or function or organization, because moving away from checks requires incremental manual labor. And if they're going to move from checks to ACH or wire, they need to go out and they need to obtain the bank account information of their vendors. If they're going to move to virtual cards, they need to go out and obtain the email addresses of their vendors. And their master vendor files they have today do not contain this information. So there is an incremental effort to get there. And that's a constraint that they face that we need to address. With respect to the disincentives provided by banks, they often trap an accounts payable organization into using only that bank's treasury services. And that's because of the exclusivity clauses that they often come with the lines of credit that those banks provide to the accounts payables organization. And then the second piece is that the banks generally offer low-value alternatives to checks. So their main form of electronic payment is an ACH, and we view that as a very high cost-to-service payment method. And that's because of the efforts involved around managing bank account information and then the enormous amount of calls that come back into your accounts payable organization as your vendors are asking you, hey, I received this payment, what's it for? Can you track down my invoice? It's not for the right amount. I don't have enough information to interpret this payment. I need help. Obviously, the banks offer wires, but they're very high cost to use payment methods. And then the banks are consistently pushing the purchasing card on accounts payable organizations. And that's simply the wrong product with which to pay suppliers. And it sits outside of the payment approval process and the procurement process and causes more trouble than help. So, you know, at Store Financial, we can't untrap an accounts payable organization from what I'll call a poorly negotiated bank line of credit. But outside of that, we can solve for the resource constraints because we do provide at no cost through the accounts payable organization a supplier enrollment program where we're going to go out and enroll the suppliers in the new higher value method of payment. And then we do provide a high-value alternative method to check, and that's with our lower-cost virtual cards. So, you know, we're addressing as much as we can there, but, you know, I do see those as two very significant constraints to progress against the check battle is, you know, accounts payable organizations trying to do these things themselves without enough resources and the banks really being in the way.
But as you describe those obstacles, I mean, they're obviously very, very real and tough to overcome, particularly if you're talking about a large banking relationship that an accounts payable department has, and it's not their decision to change those relationships also. So they're just enabling payment because of decisions that others have made higher up in the food chain. Do virtual cards go far enough to help solve those problems or overcome those hurdles?
Well, not in and of themselves, and so it's a continuous education process that we're promoting with other constituents within a finance organization. And so how are we getting the message out to CFOs and treasurers and controllers? How are we helping and arming the accounts payable organizations with information to bubble up? But, you know, it's not always just about virtual cards. It's about not just your payment method. It's about your payment process and all mm-hmm. the hidden costs within those. And so the more you can educate an organization, the more empowered they feel to become strategic within the organization and to do something about it.
Where are you seeing a lot of demand now for success stories in enabling virtual card programs to make a difference, to act in a more strategic fashion, innovating both the process and the method of payment? Are there particular sectors or types of businesses?
Well, you certainly see more activity in healthcare than anywhere else. And there's so much attention in that industry right now around process improvement and getting costs down that there's a better self-fulfilling prophecy going on there. But there's just a lot of money being thrown at it, and a lot of mindshare being pushed that way. But then you also just see here and there, depending on the vertical, an energized person within the organization that wants to make change and force change. And so they're stepping up to the plate and they understand, they've taught themselves the entire picture. And a lot of times they're using the rebates from virtual card programs to fund additional headcount in their organization so they can go out and really improve process. And that's around, you know, getting rid of paper invoice processing, putting in digital imaging packages, getting involved in procure-to-pay programs where they're really driving value through the entire process chain. But those types of things require funding. They require mindshare. So how do you get that as an accounts payable organization? A great way to get it is to go out, push everybody on the virtual cards, generate a rebate, use that rebate to fund your initiatives. So it can be done. You just need to find the person that has that sort of initiative within an organization, and you're off to the races.
So what is the sales pitch that these motivated, empowered players and organizations use to make their case? Is it about better control, more secure transacting, make our suppliers happier because we've got a better process? Are we saving money? What seems to be the most compelling case that these players are making within their organization to get movement?
Efficiency, I think, is the key word. So a CFO or a controller is going to look down on the accounts payable process as probably being the most inefficient function they have within the overall finance function. And so if you can go in and say, I can become much more efficient in terms of our expense line, I can become much more efficient in terms of our ability to process payments, process invoices faster, to put us in a position to then take advantage of our working capital position and take advantage of early pay discounts. That really gets the ear of the CFO and the controllers, because they're worried about inefficiency and they're worried about their cost of capital and their working capital, and are they being as efficient as possible with that precious resource? And so that's what you have to appeal to, and these programs deliver real results in that area once they're implemented.
So in the hospitality travel space, I know that virtual cards are increasing in popularity, and hotels have taken some steps to begin to distinguish virtual cards from traditional cards. Why is that a big deal?
Well, we're not experts in the hotel vertical, but I can see two immediate significant benefits that I would say are definitely a big deal. One is they're increasing the value of a virtual card payment within their vertical, within their hotel payment vertical, because the specification is adding more information to payment. And when you contrast what we always talk about, dumb payments, there are a lot of dumb payments out there. So a payment goes but has very little information with it. What they're doing is making the payment smarter. They're attaching certain information to it that allows a hotel to be more efficient. They're going to reduce the number of duplicate payments. They're going to reduce the number of errors they're making. They're going to be able to increase the level of automation because of this information that's tied along with the payment. So it just makes the payment that much more valuable. And that's a great thing for that payment vertical. Second benefit I see is anytime you have a standard in an area where you're trying to improve a lot of process, it's a good thing because it keeps the IP trolls at bay. patent trolling just clogs up the system and it impedes progress with payment processes improvements. And where you have these standards, you can't patent a standard. So it's great to have standards, and I think it will allow the vertical to make progress faster.
So there are a lot of options in the market for accounts payable and CFOs to contemplate when they're thinking about virtual card programs. What makes you guys different? What sort of special sauce do you provide? I love your characterization of dumb payments versus smart payments or smarter payments. Is that part of the mix that you deliver when you talk about virtual cards to the accounts payable and CFOs of the world?
It is, you know, and certainly we have pages of differentiators and value propositions against the other programs in the market, but we can certainly dive into some of those. But before I do that, I think in the end, it really only comes down to one thing, and that is how much of an organization's spend are you going to convert from a low-value payment method to a higher-value payment method, in this case, the virtual card. And because the more spend you convert, the more cost you take out, and the more rebate you provide back in. And so you have the highest overall value being created. And we have designed our program to convert the most spend. And we're making a living out of going in and cleaning up after failed bank programs where they offer the payment method, but they don't offer any meaningful way to truly convert spend. And so we always say, you know, as an organization, if you haven't converted at least 30% of your eligible spend to virtual cards, you need to call us because we can get you there. And that is our ultimate value proposition in the marketplace.
So what does it mean when you say convert spend? I mean, be specific.
Okay. So accounts payable organization has $100 million in spend to suppliers, and they are paying half of that spend via check and maybe 40% of it via ACH and 10% of it in various other ways, wires, purchasing cards. We want to get at least 30% of that 100 million converted to a virtual card payment method. And it's a watermark that we all talk about. I think our industry talks about it's achievable, but rarely achieved through the programs that an organization may have gone through in the past because they were not designed well. They lacked the ability to have the lower cost cards where you can get more supplier acceptance. And so there's just a lot of pieces you can put together to get you to that 30%. In some cases, you may not be talking about an accounts payable organization spend, but it can be an insurance company's claim payments where you're going to go well beyond 30%. So in other cases, getting to 30% is a challenge. So it's sort of that average watermark to say, if you want to know, if you want to look at your organization and ask yourself, am I doing okay? How am I doing versus where I could be? We say, do you have 30% of your spend on a virtual card program? And if you don't, then you're potentially underperforming what you could be.
And so using that example, 50% of the check, 40% ACH, 10% something else, and the watermark is getting to 30%, how do you begin to attack that? Are you looking at going for the existing payment method? Are you looking at types of suppliers? How are you then going in and actually saying, this is where we believe we can start to take low value and convert it to high value?
Well, that's part of the special sauce. And part of it, what's special about it is it's custom every time. So you need to look at every, there is no one-size-fits-all program. And so if we look at a particular buyer, in this case with $100 million in spend, what do they have in there in terms of the types of suppliers? What is the concentration of spend? Is it a lot of small suppliers or only a handful of very large suppliers? What payment methods are they on today? What payment terms are they on today? And what type of excess working capital do you have in your organization? And are you able to put some of that to work through offering early payment incentives or certain types of suppliers? So you need to take all of those factors and build a custom program that's going to deliver the best results. You're not going to go to a supplier, for example, that has super thin margins because they're providing you with a commodity, and you're not going to be able to call them and say, we now want to pay you with a card that may cost you up to 3% their margin may only be 3%. So it's not going to work. So how are you going to attack that one differently? And so you need to segment the suppliers into different groups with different messaging and different offers, really, to them to make it compelling enough for them to take a car. An example I gave, which is the extreme one, which is their margins are 3%, the car's 3%. Even if you got, you know, the car down to cost down to 1%, you're still taking away a third of the margin. You're not likely to win in that situation. And so you're going to sit there and say, well, okay, that's one where it's not going to be part of the 30% that we convert. And so that segmentation and that custom campaign that you create is a lot of the secret sauce that banks don't have organizations to do that. They don't have the expertise to do that. They don't have the desire to do that. They have payment methods and they expect, a lot of times they'll outsource some of that. And so you'll see a bank saying, look, I don't have an expertise there, so we're not going to do this. We've asked Visa to come in and do this for you, or we've asked MasterCard to come in and do this for you, or party ABC. And, you know, they're sort of knocking down as many are being thrown at them by the issuing bank, and they're not very effective. So they might go after the low-hanging fruit, but they'll never get you to that 30% because their program isn't designed to get you to 30%. It's designed to move over 5 to 10% and move on to the next deal.
Eric, do you worry at all that the efforts around same-day ACH, which we'll start to see rolling out in some way next fall, will blunt some of the advantages of a virtual card program because it will create this ubiquitous network that will allow banks to move money between them in a way that they weren't able to do before?
Well, if they can do it, not really. I mean, certainly our only solution is not just virtual cards. We understand that in certain situations, the alternative payment methods have more value than another, so you need to fit the right one into the right box. But really, it's about a smart payment versus a dumb payment. Just because it's faster doesn't make it smarter. Is it smart? And so I think that's really where the value gets added. If I look back over 15 years of being in the payment space, it was always, are you making the sender and the receiver smarter? And if you are, you're adding value. Because so there's certainly a benefit to real time, and I think a real time ACH, and I think certain payment flows will get a lot of value out of that, but that doesn't mean that there's still not a very significant play for smart payments and for virtual card payments.
Well, Eric, it was great to catch up with you today. I love your closing statement. Faster doesn't make it smarter. That's, I think, worth to live by in lots of cases, not just payments. But thanks for joining me today. It was a great discussion.
Okay. Thanks for having me. I look forward to the next one.